Well, good morning, family. How are you doing? Thank you to all my loyal supporters. I'm kidding. But welcome. It is Sunday. It is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And so, welcome. My name is Presley Walker. If you don't know me, I'm one of the Bible College students here at Redmond Bible College. And it is with great joy that I get to do announcements with y'all. So, number one, let me look at my notes. Welcome, guest. Welcome. If this is for your first time here, thank you for coming. We'd love to see you here. And right over on the pastoral side after service, we have our Connect room. So if you want to learn about more about us and to, thank you. If you want to learn more about us and we want to get to know you, our pastors will be there. And thank you for being here. Also, thank you to all of you watching on live stream right now. We love that you're watching us. We hope that you can be here in the house next week, but thank you for watching. And so our first announcement is next Sunday, October 3rd at 9/11, we are having Baptism Sunday. So if this is your first time being baptized, or you want to be baptized again, or if you want to take a dip in the water since it's getting chilly out, you can go ahead and sign up right out front at the information desk. And our next announcement is, if you guys have not noticed, we have a nice Harvest Fest set up right out in the foyer. So, and what we're doing last week, we launched our candy drive. So this is what we do every year, is we ask, if you want to give candy, go ahead and give candy, because our vision at Harvest Fest is that we want to give every kid a handful of candy for each station that they go to. So it says in 2 Corinthians 9 that God loves a cheerful giver. And if it's giving, it's above your tithe. So go ahead and do that if you want to. And our last announcement is we have our pastoral appreciation banquet coming up in October. October 8th. So if you want to come out, it is a masquerade event. It is $10 per person. We just want to come out and celebrate our pastors for this month.
Can you believe that? That's our Presley.
He's grown up in this house. Can't believe he's in Bible college.
I think he was born here. Was he born?
He was one year old
when he came to church here. Isn't that crazy? Boy, my wife is so mature.
It's awesome to be back in the house with you again this week. We had a fantastic revival services down in Georgia last week. They did want to keep me, and I told them I had to go home. So it was a great time in the Lord, and we saw lots of breakthrough and healing and deliverance. It was just fantastic. So thank you for allowing me and sharing me with other places. It's an honor and a privilege to take the powerful Word of God with us. So this morning, what I want to share with you has just been so on my heart, is that signs and wonders follow the preaching of the word. You know, we don't just come into church and hear a great message, but that message is loaded with power. So you can expect whatever it is you have need of for the supernatural to show up following the preaching of the word.
Amen.
Whatever you have need of, signs and wonders follow the preaching of the word. So get excited when you come into the house and you hear the word of God, knowing that God's power is going to show up in your life. Even if you're watching by live stream, signs and wonders Amen. Are going to follow the preaching of the word today. You're going to feel the presence and breakthrough and healing of Jesus. I just heard a testimony of healing out in the foyer. I love being out there to greet everyone in the morning and say hello. I got to hear this awesome testimony. One of the young ladies, her brother was diagnosed with this rare form of cancer, and he had to have all these surgeries, and the only way to find it and test it was to have the surgery. And so he ended up having surgery, and they prayed and prayed and prayed, and God took away all sickness and disease. Amen. They biopsied, and there's no disease in his body.
Amen.
God is still in the miracle working business.
We also just got a testimony from our church down in West Virginia. Yep, West Virginia. And there was a gentleman that they're building a building, and they've been in existence now about a year and a quarter. And they started building a building, and a gentleman offered to do all the excavation for free. He wasn't born again. And he had actually walked away from the Lord many, many, many decades prior. excuse me, while he was actually bulldozing, the presence of the Lord came over him in the bulldozer. And he rededicated his life. Now, this was a year ago.
Wow.
And so 3 months after he got done, he was diagnosed with terminal cancer.
Wow.
They told him, there is no hope. There is nothing anybody can do. It's all through your lungs. It's all through your liver. You're not going to make it. You're going to die. And, you know, he just kind of, I don't know, he said he was going to fight, and he did for a few months. And about 2 months ago, he looked at his wife, actually it was a little bit less than that, looked at his wife and he said, I'm just going to go home. I'm ready to go home. I'm tired. I don't want to fight anymore. And she said, okay, let's just call the pastor. Called Pastor Weaver. They came down. He laid hands on them in the name of Jesus. He went back to the doctor, got another PET scan, and the doctor said, I don't understand. You only have one little dot. I'll see you in a year.
Yes, Jesus. Jesus.
Isn't that cool? Stinking cool.
Miracle worker. That's our God. Let's pray and open the service. Actually, we've already opened the service with testimony. We overcome by testifying. So whatever you have need of, we know that God is no respecter of persons.
Right.
He doesn't favor anyone over the other. He is no respecter. He has it for you too.
I do have to ask, since you were here last Sunday and I was wearing my Harley Davidson vest, and my wife from Georgia sent a message, unbutton that vest, you look very fat.
That is
I just want to make sure that I look okay today for you, dear.
That's nice.
Do I look all right?
That looks wonderful.
I had a Toby's donut yesterday. Anybody had a Toby's donut down in Watkins yet?
Oh, Jesus,
help us all.
Had Toby's donuts.
Toby's donuts.
All right, we're going to pray. Father, we love you so much. Thank you for our family.
Hallelujah.
Thank you that we can
gather. We are so blessed, God. Thank
you
so much for life.
Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for signs and wonders and miracles and the supernatural.
Yes.
Thank you that we are part of a
kingdom. You
are a
good God.
That is unstoppable, that is unshakable, that is unmovable. Thank you, Jesus, for the peace and joy that your kingdom provides. Thank you for the love that surrounds us, Lord. We know that your word says where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst of them.
Jesus.
So right now, your power and
your
presence is just surrounding every single person in this place. Whatever it is we came in with, God, your presence right now is working powerfully, is working mightily. We thank you for it, Jesus. We honor you. We love you. We exalt you. We lift you up, Lord. In your precious name, amen, amen.
Amen. I do have some good news. I'm going to cut a single on I Got It. It should be available by Christmas.
I'm going to invite everybody to stand up and come forward towards the altar. We're going to do something just a tad bit different this morning. Okay, we're going to just start off service with seeking God's face in prayer. Just for a couple minutes, I'm really feeling a draw towards prayer this morning. So go ahead and just get your hearts ready. If you want to close your eyes, you can do that. If you want to raise your hands, you can do that. But we're going to pray for a couple minutes, okay? Lord Jesus, we just first want to thank you and praise you for how good you are, Lord. There's nobody like you. There's none beside you, Lord. You are our matchless God. There's no rival to you, Lord. There's no equal to you, Lord. Nobody's power compares to you, Lord. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus. You are the Most High God. And Lord, we thank you for bringing us into your kingdom, Jesus. We thank you. Just like Prophet Ted Sr. said, that you've given authority to the church in this season now. So we use that authority right now in the mighty name of Jesus to remove barricades in the spirit, in the mighty name of Jesus, to pull down strongholds in the mighty name of Jesus, to expel the spirit of fear in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that we're not controlled by a spirit of fear or anxiousness. Jesus, I thank you that we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. We're protected by your anointing. We're protected by the blood of Jesus. Lord, I thank you right now in the this place. Your spirit is moving and speaking to hearts, Lord. I thank you that you're here right now in this room, Lord. We've praised you and we've thanked you. So you're moving right now in this room, Lord. I thank you that you're going to make your presence tangible in this place. To the unbeliever who may have come in with doubt, Lord, make your presence tangible in this place. Lord, for the person that's questioning whether they're going to have a job this week or not, Lord, speak to them clearly in this place, Lord. We believe that when we come to you interceding with boldness, Lord, that you are faithful to produce the answers that we've been looking for. You're faithful to move on our behalf, Lord. You're faithful to perform your word and miracles right in front of us, Jesus. So we intercede for those that are afraid this morning. We intercede for those who don't know which way to go, Lord, and we say, remove the scales off of the believer's eyes, Lord. I thank you for clarity in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you that your spirit is speaking to them, Lord, that you reveal yourself, Lord. Your word says, those who seek me diligently find me, Lord. So we just rebuke brain fog, Lord Jesus. We rebuke any spiritual unsurety, Jesus. We can be sure in your word, Lord, and in your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we just thank you for the ability to seek you this morning. Go ahead for the next 30 seconds and just pray out of your own mouth things that you want to see the Spirit working today, because I believe that Jesus wants to use us as an example in this time to the unbeliever of just how good he is, just how much peace he can give us, just how much provision he can give us. So go ahead and just speak out of your own mouth for the next 30 seconds how you want to see the Lord move.
Yeah.
you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop. You never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working.
You never stop.
You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
You never stop. You never stop working.
You never stop.
You never stop. You never stop working.
And even when I don't see it, you're working. You're working.
You never stop.
You never stop.
You never stop. You never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
You never stop.
You never stop.
You never stop.
You never stop. You never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
You never stop, you never stop working.
You never stop,
stop Waymaker, Waymaker,
miracle worker,
promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You've made a way for me, Lord, and I believe,
Waymaker,
I believe,
worker,
I believe.
Promise keeper, light in the darkness.
That is who you are.
That is who you are.
Oh, that is who you are.
That is who you are.
Oh, that is who you are.
That is who you are.
Oh, that is who you are. Who you are.
That is who you are.
You've prepared a way for me. It's who you are.
That is who you are.
You've prepared a way for me. It's just who you are.
That is who you are.
It's how you show up for your children.
Oh, that is who you are.
He made a way.
Oh, that is who you are.
Oh, that is who you are.
That is who you are.
Sing, that is who you are.
That is who you are.
Oh, that is who you are.
That is who you are.
And even when I don't see it, you're working. Feel it, you're working.
You never stop. You never stop working.
You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
You never stop. You never stop working.
You never stop.
You never stop. You never stop working.
And even when I don't see it, you're working.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
You're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop.
You never stop working.
Who you are.
That is who you are.
you that have been waiting for a work to be done in your life. It might be healing, it might be financial, it might be spiritual growth, but you have entered into a season of opportunity where God wants to release a very quick release of growth, of breakthrough, of increase, of power and authority. God wants to move you to that next level. Even in this church, I'm hearing, and we know this, quick harvest, quick growth, quick renewal, restoration, increase of those that were lost, brought into the kingdom of God. But God wants to do that individually in us first, because it's the body of Christ that is the plan of God. So it needs to start with us. But God is saying that if you want this quick increase, this quick breakthrough, this quick healing in your life, then there needs to be an intensity, an intensification in the amount of time that you are spending with Him, in your ability to get obedient, in your commitment to get obedient to Christ. And so this is your season. It's His will for this to be that moment, but that's dependent upon you. See, we wait for harvest and we wait for harvest, but if we haven't planted the seeds, we can't expect the harvest. So this is your, there's an urgency on the planting of those seeds and the time that you spend in the presence of God. So hear the Lord, hear His heart. His desire is to bring that thing to fruition for you quickly, but it comes through your obedience and your seeking the presence of God. And the growth of this house will also depend upon your obedience to the kingdom, because we carry the Holy Spirit. And the revival, which we are already in the midst of, this is nothing compared to what God is going to do, will only intensify as you get intentional, purposeful about seeking God urgently in this season.
Even when I don't see it, you work. Even when I don't feel it, you working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you working. Even when I don't feel it, you working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop.
You never stop working.
You never stop.
You never stop.
You never,
you never stop.
Stop
working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
Stop working. Never stop.
Yeah.
Never stop working.
just me. You are my strength, strength like no other, strength like no other. Be just me. Defense, my righteous.
God.
How I need.
Come on now. Let's press in. Let's press in.
Lord,
I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you.
My one defense, my righteousness.
Oh God, how I God, we thank you for your goodness in our lives. Jesus, this morning, so many have needs in their lives, God, that only you can meet. In fact, they've only told you. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that those needs that are sitting before you on your throne, oh God, I thank you that you are not just able to meet them, you want to meet them. So we release right now heaven to earth. We command answers to be released right now from heaven's ability and heaven's home to invade our lives and bring an answer that's impossible to man, but possible with God. Father, I thank you that you care for us and you love us. Lord, sometimes we forget. We forget that this is all about love, that everything you have done is only because you so loved us that you gave. And we love you, Father, for blessing our lives. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. See, if you're not at this place of this song, you're still trying to do it yourself. And I want to encourage you, let's get to that song.
Amen. I really sense strongly that there's multiple people in the room that are like that testimony of that man, just tired and weary and ready to give up. I just felt it so strong. And then I heard the Spirit of God say, just tell them, don't give up. Amen. Don't quit. I am with you.
Yes.
You might be in the middle of the fiery furnace, but I am with you.
Yes.
You might be in the middle of the lion's den, but don't forget, I am
yes.
with you. Don't give up. Don't quit, because is with you in the middle of
yes.
that thing. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to disappoint you. Even when we can't see
yes.
it, God is with you.
Yeah, powerful.
Don't quit. Don't give up. God's going to turn it around. He's going to see you maybe through the fire. He's going to see you maybe through a lion's den. But you're coming out
yes.
the other side. If you
Hallelujah.
Just keep your eyes, turn your eyes back
Jesus.
To Jesus, turn your eyes
Shabba
back to Jesus,
Shabba
turn your eyes back to the Him. He is right there
yes.
with you. Don't quit.
Yes. We were listening to a testimony last night about a woman who was given, it was on the 700 Club, a terminal diagnosis from a doctor. And she just started praying. And Jesus, one time in a dream, she was getting ready to give up. And in the dream, the Lord took her to his tomb. And the tomb was open. And Jesus was laying on the slab of stone. And then he sat up. And he looked at her and he said, if I can get up, you will get up. He said, if my body will get up, you will get up. I don't know what you're going through, but I know this. God has not given up on you. Don't you give up on God. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Turn to yourself. Turn to yourself and say, you will never give up. You will never back down. We've been given a promise. We've been given an oath. And God cannot lie. I can only have victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't that good? Amen. This morning we're going to do meet and greet, but I do want to remind you, last week we actually had somebody a few weeks ago very offended because somebody breached without asking permission. And so I don't know if they're coming back, but that's okay. We'll pray for them, amen, and that God will encourage them. And if they were offended, that God will get them through that. But that just shows we've got to be sensitive, amen? Not everybody's at the same place you are in your freedom. So please just ask them, is it okay that I shake your hand? Is it okay that I give you a hug? And let's go find somebody we don't know, amen? Go find, this is called biblically koinonia, the ability of fellowship. Come on, go find somebody. Tell them you look just marvelous today.
And if you can hear us, oh, they said thumbs up. Okay. How everyone doing this morning?
Good morning, Maria.
Bonnie, good morning. Oh, this is delayed.
Yo, it is so good to see you guys this morning. We're so glad you guys are tuning in. I'm Pastor Tim. This is Brother Pastor Buddy.
Brother Buddy, you don't got to call me Pastor. You just call me Brother. Good morning, guys. Go ahead and say good morning.
Yeah.
We want to shout some people right out.
Oh, here we go.
There we go. AJ, good morning. Up, Jennifer, good morning. You guys are just looking great this morning.
Look,
I can just tell.
Does anybody need prayer this morning? We're here to pray with you guys.
I can just tell.
Encourage you.
I can just tell you guys look great. Fantastic. Oh, we're supposed to be looking right here.
Yeah, the camera's Whoops. Over here.
Sorry, y'all. We've been looking down. The screen's here. It's all right. We're new to this.
Good morning, Evelyn. Good morning, Marilyn, Maria, Jennifer. What's up, guys? We're so glad you're here.
We're so glad you're here. That's going to be a great message. Worship was phenomenal.
Yes.
I know the presence is in your home right now.
Come on.
Melody, good morning from North Carolina.
Oh, North Carolina. Somebody put the double praise hands in the chat.
Double praise hands
in the chat. You know what I'm talking about? The emoji with
the two hands up.
Put that in there real quick.
Someone put that up. If you're not watching from New York, go ahead. Let us know where you're watching from.
Please. Okay. Oh, what's up? This okay. is Wildwood. Mama, what's up, Mama? Who else we got? Who else? Mike, what's going on? Okay, here we go. Please pray for me as I'm having surgery tomorrow. Pray that God is looking over me and my doctor. Lord, we pray for Mike that right now, Lord, that you are covering him, Lord,
yes, Lord,
with your presence and with your power, Lord. We thank you that everything that needed to happen was done
Amen.
On the tree, on salvation, Lord. And so
Amen.
We thank you, Jesus, for everything that you've done, everything that you're continuing to do.
Amen.
We thank you that your presence is there, even in the room before they do the surgery, God. We thank you that your wisdom is over the doctors.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Receive it. Carolyn, good morning. I'm sure you're around here somewhere with the baby.
Who else we got? Maria, always need prayer. God, we just pray for Maria. God, we bless her in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We thank you for who you are in her life, Lord. We ask you to show up even through the camera
Amen.
During this service right now, Lord. We ask you to impact her life. Let your presence be so known even where she is in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Go ahead and pray for, who is this, Melody? Go ahead and pray for Melody real quick.
Please pray for my husband. He is having. Lord, I just pray for Melanie's husband right now for his back surgery this Thursday,
you,
Lord.
Lord,
I just, even before, let his back just be healed. That
yes.
doesn't even have to go into surgery, Father. But if he does, Lord, let it be a clean and effortless surgery, Father.
Yes,
no damages, Father. No things coming out of it, Father. Just complete healing in Jesus' mighty name.
And again,
amen,
we are
amen,
so
amen.
Glad you guys are watching today. Man, today is a great day
that's
to
great
be in
day.
Church. It's also, I love the fall weather. You know when it starts to
yes.
get a little cooler? Man, that's my favorite ever.
Right, I got the hoodie on. It was a little chilly coming outside. You said, you know what? Comfortable. It's a comfortable Sunday.
I was really thinking I should have worn like a jacket or something. You know, it's like fall's coming, y'all.
Yeah, it's coming. It's here. It's like right. It's like peeking around the corner.
I think like on the calendar, it was like already the first day of fall.
Yeah, I think last like... Tuesday was like the first day of autumn, and then I think I don't know the dates.
Something like that.
I didn't know there was official dates for that.
There is. Hey, let's pray for Tammy real quick, Lord. I thank you for Tammy, Lord. I thank you for her and her family, God. I thank you that your presence is there with them even right now. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to visit them where they are, every single part of their family, Lord. Every family member that's on the far outsides, Lord. Maybe they're not all connected, but Lord, I speak to every single one of them, and I even speak to those who are far from God, and I say return in the name of Jesus, Lord. That your presence would be so real, God. You are the true Father. I pray that they would know that love of the Father, that reality would be so real to them. In Jesus' name, I speak for healing, Lord, for relationships that may have been broken, God. I thank you that your presence is there, and that where you are, there is healing and there is wholeness in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen, amen, amen.
Hallelujah. Man, I love meet and greet.
Meet and greet's awesome.
It's a little different online.
It is different online.
It says 2080 y'all are watching, but I only see 3 commenting. So
we need some more comments in the chat, please.
Come on in.
We need some more comments. Don't be shy.
Come on in, y'all.
Go ahead, roll over, put that keypad up. Go ahead, say what's good morning.
like I'm watching live and I'm like half asleep. Look, if you're actually watching, go ahead, comment something.
Go ahead, comment something. Comment. Drop a quick comment.
Pastor Kevin is here. He is so quick with the responses. Everybody, he's praying at all times. Man, it's a great day.
If you're eating breakfast, let us know what you're eating.
Yes, for real.
Some cereal.
Oh, who we got here? Kimmy. Yo, pray for Kimmy's husband real quick.
Lord, I just pray for Kimmy's husband, Lord, Father, and pretty much whatever she needs, whatever it is, Lord. I don't know the specifics, but you do, Lord. So, Father, I just ask you just to cover them, Father. Lord, I just ask you just to listen to their prayers, Lord. For that, Lord, I just ask you to speak to her husband, Jesus. Lord, and I just ask you to just be very evident in his life and in her life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Yes. And God, I pray for AJ, God, for his family and for his kids. God, I ask that your blessing would be on their life, that their life would just be one that is known for the blessing of God on it. Jesus, I ask that you are real to each and every one of them, that it wouldn't just be a thing in their head, God, but it would be a very real reality that they live from, that your presence is impacting them daily. God, that you are speaking to them every single day. You're being so real to them. You're providing for them in new and awesome and amazing ways, and even blessing them overabundantly in Jesus' name. God, bless AJ.
Amen, amen.
All right, what we got
Jennifer
here?
Jennifer said bagel and
coffee and bagel. Come on.
Never go wrong.
Let's talk about this. What do you put on your bagel? Because some people don't like the cream. I recently got into cream cheese. I was like a butter man my whole life.
Mm.
I'm like butter.
Nah, cream cheese. I used to see, I was a cream cheese guy, but I was like thin cream cheese. Now, I was like, why do people who put mad cream cheese on it? Now, I try with a good amount of cream.
Uh-huh.
Fire.
Because it might sound silly, but I never realized cream cheese was cheese. I know that, like, saying that, it sounds silly. But, like, you know, you put, like, the bagel with the egg and the cheese. I put, like, the egg and the cream cheese.
Yeah.
Peanut butter on the bagels. Oh, my.
Wow.
I don't know about that one. Is that good?
Yeah, actually.
You tried that?
Yes. Especially when it's still a little hot, the peanut butter melts a little bit. It's actually fire. Mm.
Strawberry cream cheese? Hold up.
I heard that's heat, too.
That sounds good.
You ever try like the everything bagel seasoning? That's fine.
I have. Let me pray for Miss K real quick.
Oh, Ms.
Lord,
K.
I bless Miss K, God. I thank you that her mind is from you, God. God, I ask you to show up in her life. God, that you just be real to Miss K. Lord, I thank you that when we pray, that you hear us, Lord, that you're here. And like when we speak to you, you're not far away. We don't have to scream and shout and hope you hear us. God, you hear us.
Amen.
And I thank you that you hear Miss K's prayers, Lord. Be
Amen.
Real to her in Jesus' name. Honey and butter. Whoa, I love that we come from
honey
prayer back to like
Skylar here. Skylar, where are you?
All right. I think we're about
Can
to head back to
here?
The service. Look, we love you guys. Thank you for watching. Keep watching. We're about to get into the word. It's
Amen.
Gonna be
phenomenal.
I just want to pray
Amen.
For Skylar. It's her last week with us. She is going to YWAM, Youth with a Mission. So we're super proud of her and we're gonna miss you, but we know God is gonna do incredible things for you. Is it okay if I pray for you? Oh, love you, honey. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this life that is dedicated to you to do powerful and mighty things all over the world for you, Jesus. We know that your angels will surround her and that she will just grow in a deeper and deeper relationship with you, that she will be salt and light of the supernatural power of God wherever she goes. We thank you for it in your precious name, Lord. Amen. We love you, baby. Amen. We just want to welcome you if you're a guest in the house this morning. We have a connection room. We would love to be able to connect with you and greet you. We have some coffee and snacks and the pastoral staff that would like to connect with you and get to know who you are. And that's going to be right down this hallway. It's the first classroom down this hallway right after the service. So if you're new in the house or you've never been or you've been gone for a while and you just want to reconnect, come in and say hi in the connection room. We'd love to get to greet you today. This is the time of the service for our tithes and offerings. And we do this because it's the Bible. It's not something that a man made up or a church made up. We simply tithe and sow seed because it's what the Word of God tells us to do. It's obedience to God. In His Word in Malachi 3, it says to bring all the tithe into the storehouse. This is what God's Word says. And then even in Matthew, Jesus Himself, red letter, says, you tithe. This you ought to do. So I don't know where this philosophy came that it's no longer a part of the New Testament church. Show me the scripture where it says, do not tithe any longer because it's not allowed in the New Testament church. Actually, I just see the opposite. Jesus himself telling the New Testament church, the disciples and the people around, you tithe, this you ought to do. So it's simple obedience to God. And why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to obey God? Because in this, he says, that you will walk under an open heaven. And man, I don't know if there's a time before this that we've ever needed to walk under an open heaven. And an open heaven is way more than finances. Open heaven is health, comfort, prosperity, all of it, over everything. It encompasses everything in open heaven. And we get to walk in that when we walk in obedience to his word. And we can't expect that without obedience to his word. So in this house, we actually get excited when it's time to give tithes and offerings. You know, we are so blessed. We have so many financial testimonies. God is just chasing us down with his blessing and favor. No matter what the financial climate of this world is, we're kingdom. We're not of this world. We're kingdom. And we will always walk in the supernatural blessing of God, no matter what goes on around us. And when we tithe, we get to have that. So we love tithing. We love sowing. We love giving. We get excited. We get a little bit loud about it in this house. So if you're ready to give, stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. And this isn't just words. This is the Bible. And the Bible is so powerful. It literally is God's substance on those words in the page. So God's power is on these words that we're going to declare. And it says when his word goes forth, it cannot return void. So let's get excited about declaring, prophesying over our finances, over our money that we're putting into the supernatural realm right now. It says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God, and I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and give your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning. If you're watching on live stream, don't miss out. Give right along with us. You can text to give, the number that's going to be on the screen, or you can go to the website and click on the giving button right along with us.
Is an old song that says, he woke me up this morning, started me on my way. I don't know what I'd do without the Lord. Amen. I don't know about you. You know, he's not obligated to get us up every morning, but thank God today we got breath in our lungs. Amen. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I'm just so excited today. I feel the love of God in this house. And I love feeling the love of God. You know, it's okay to be hanging out with folks. I like that. But when you feel the love of God within the house, there's something that cannot be created by just flesh. It's got to be Holy Spirit. Joe, I know that you're very quiet, but I want you to know something. The message you sent me this week on that phone, I know that you just brought it out of your heart. But I want you to know that God honors honor. And that God is going to bless you in a way that you're unexpecting. Because of honor. You didn't do anything weird. You didn't do anything out of order, out of strangeness for you. But God has placed order in your life. God has placed honor in your life. And God's going to bless you accordingly. Amen. I learned this a long time ago. Honor gives access. Dishonor cuts off opportunities. Learn that quickly. You learn that fast and you'll always live blessed. Amen. Well, I got good news for you. Well, you don't want to know bad enough. That's all I got to tell you. I got good news for you. It's a rough morning, I can tell. Amen. I got good news for you. Are you ready? I got good news for you. You are not of this world. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You got to get a hold of this, because if you don't get a hold of this, you're going to keep struggling the way you've been struggling. You've got to know that you are kingdom bound. Can I hear an amen? Amen? That you are now citizens of heaven, that you are part of God's kingdom, and God's kingdom runs differently than the things of the earth. That's why as believers, we're not the same. Listen now, if your friends are watching you react to all the foolishness going on the same way they are, they've got no hope. We are different. Turn to someone and say, you are different. Tell somebody else, you are different. We are not moved by what we see. We are not moved by what we see. We are not moved by what we hear. We are not moved by circumstances. Ah, that's so weak right there. Ready? We are not moved by what we see. Nope. We are not moved by what we see. We're getting there. We are not moved by what we see. We are not moved by what we hear. We are not moved by circumstances. We walk by faith and not by sight. Until you get this, come on now, you're going to be constantly tossed to and fro. You're going to struggle in your life. And you're going to struggle over every scenario. And you've got to know where there's a real God, there's also a real devil. And if he knows he can topple you, if he knows he can get your eyes, if he knows he can get your ears, if he knows he can get you distracted by circumstances, then you will stop walking by faith. And the faith of God is what moves mighty mountains. It is not anything else. Can I hear an amen? Amen. The pandemic, the mandated vaccinations, I'll say this one more time, said it last week. Getting the vaccination is not a sin. Not getting the vaccination is not a sin. Say amen. Amen. We are not going to allow in the body of Christ prejudice against one or the other. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Say amen. Amen. You got your personal opinion? That's beautiful. Say amen. Amen. Keep it personal. Amen. Boy, that got quiet. Amen. Yeah, come on. Somebody said to me, why isn't the church addressing this? Because the Bible doesn't address vaccines. But it does address faith. And if you're putting your faith in a vaccine, you're just as in bad a shape as somebody who's not. Say amen or oh my. We put our faith in God. So the mandated vaccines, I'm not against vaccines. I am against mandating vaccines. And that's where I take a posture and a position. In fact, this week is going to be very big in this church. This week's going to be very big across the nation as many people in the medical field, many people in the governmental field are being demanded to take the vaccination. And if they don't, they will be terminated. We are going to see a great change this week. many nurses in this church and many other folks that have been in the house of God that are being mandated have come to me and asked me for a religious exemptions. And I've been able to give them out because I believe that we, by God, has given us the right to choose what we put in our own bodies. Say amen. I said, say amen. The government tries to take the right of a child away and abort them, but now they're trying to demand the body of Christ and the people of this world to do something that they don't want to do. Boy, that's a kind of a contradiction. I think we call that hypocrisy. But we're dealing with many people, school workers. We're dealing with moms and dads with their children with mask mandates. We're dealing with folks that are struggling because everything around them is shifting and shaking. And this morning, I just want to do one quick thing. That would be by faith, wouldn't it? I want to do one almost quick thing. That is, I want to shore you up with what you and I should be living in. We walk by faith and not by sight. I've got something for you. You know you stopped walking by faith when your fear is bigger than your faith. I've watched the body of Christ go into fear. I want to remind you, everyone loves to use Job as an excuse for sickness being in people's lives. But the Bible says that the thing that Job feared the most came upon him. Job released sickness, disease, and turmoil in his life because he chose to live in fear and doubt and unbelief. And it wasn't until Job 42 that he covered his mouth and he repented. And he said this, I have said things that I know not of. And he repented before God. And then God blessed him back double of what he had. But here we are. Fear is a tormentor, the scripture says. And fear has no place in your life. Can I hear an amen? Fear will steal your peace. So where there is no peace, you know that fear is more powerful in your life than faith. Now, why is that important? Because it's not faith in faith, it's faith in God. So when you lose, come on now, when you lose peace, you're telling God that he is too weak to handle your situation. That's real. Some of you have had bad doctor's reports, and you've allowed fear to be more prominent than your faith. Some of you having family issues. And you've allowed your issues, the circumstances, to be more powerful than standing in faith. We've got to make a decision at some point in our life that I refuse to leave my peace or surrender my peace to anybody or anything. The only one I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on is Jesus, for he is the author and the finisher of my faith. He's the only one that can bring peace. He's the only one that's not shifting sand. Everything in this world is constantly going to shift. Now listen, in 18 months, our entire planet has changed. No. If you've not been around a while, you don't get it. But if you have, literally, not figuratively, we have watched the entire planet change in just 18 months. And many of us are saying, is it ever going back? And the answer is no. Because this is the movement towards the last days. I want to remind you, Brother Ted said it a few weeks ago up in Rochester. He said the devil is moving quicker to bring the end time faster because he wants less people to go to heaven and the great harvest to cease. But the devil never has the right to write the last chapter of the church. God is still God. God is still all powerful. And the devil is still subject. Can I hear an amen? The devil is not a nice guy, and he's going to do everything to get you to a position to where you are going to surrender your peace. I've got news for you. Nobody can take your peace. You can only give your peace. Nobody can take your faith. You have to surrender your faith to fear. So the question is not, is God still God? Of course he is. The question is not, can God do miracles? That is unquestionable. The question isn't that he cares about your specific situation. That's not even something to debate. But the question is, what will we allow to rule our lives? Because what rules our lives is genuinely the God that we serve. I've heard Christians, they run around and they're very afraid of COVID. Listen, I'm not saying it's not a real virus. It is a real virus. The death rate, I think the survival rate is 99 or 98 plus higher. But they've literally transformed everything because of COVID. Here's the problem. COVID was here before it hit last year. This is a different variant. But the problem comes down to this. Do you submit to COVID or do you submit to God? Who's more powerful in your life, the virus or God the King? Someone said, I don't want to die. Well, I don't want to die either. But if I die, at least I'm going to die in faith and not die in doubt. Say amen. Peace is not something you can buy. It's not something that you can try to accomplish. Peace lives inside of you because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, peace. Love, joy, what? Love, joy, what? Peace is not that everything's going well. Peace is I choose to live it in the middle of the fire and not be shaken. So many of us, when trouble comes, trouble troubles us instead of us troubling trouble. Because we submit to fear. We submit to our eyes. We submit to our physical senses. And we stop walking by faith and we start living by sight. Listen, if you're a business person, man, when all the COVID hit, man, everybody's freaking out. But what everybody thought was going to happen didn't happen. Many businesses aspired. Many businesses were built. Many businesses really shot through the roof. Some struggled, but even the ones that struggled, we had to make a decision in your own heart. Am I going to choose to live by this world's economy, or is God able to even bring a fish if I need more money? We have peace, and peace can only be surrendered. There's a text that I love very much, and it's found in the book of Mark, chapter 4. Now, for all those that are saying, well, as a pastor, you know, everything is perfect in your life. Let me tell you something. I'm going to give you a quick, and I get it not too long ago, quick little capitulation of our last 3 years. We had a house flood that literally caused $80,000 worth of damage in our home, and we had to move out and live in a hotel for 3 months. Many of you didn't even know. Why? Well, because we don't need to tell any of the problems. We're going to declare the faith of God and walk in victory. My wife was diagnosed with terminal cancer. They told her she had 2 weeks to live. That was over 2 years ago. We had a man decide that he wanted to start his own little thing. And he went down the road and started his own little thing and literally snatched about 40, 50 people out of this house. And it was a very traumatic scenario and very tumultuous, even for the body of Christ. At the same time, then COVID hit. Can I hear an amen? All of this all happened at the same time. And my wife and I had to make a decision. We're either going to walk by faith, we're either going to keep our peace, or we're going to fall apart and we're going to have a nervous breakdown. One of those alone is enough to topple somebody. So is it because I'm a pastor? No. It's because I'm a man of God. I'm a man, Michael Spencer, Rhonda Spencer, and we made a decision that nobody is going to steal our peace, that nobody is going to bring fear in our lives, that no circumstance is bigger than our God, and that God is able to do abundantly above all that we could ask or imagine. But we had to make a decision who was God and who was not. Some of you are not there yet. You're at that crossroads where you bend and you literally will bow your knee to many other things besides God himself. And I want you to know that there is only one God. Say amen. There is only one King. Can I say amen? And every other God will bow before him at some point in time. But I don't want to be serving the wrong God. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Mark chapter 4, I'm going to read it real quick, starting with verse 35. On that day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in a boat, just as he was. And other boats were with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" And Jesus woke up and rebuked the wind and the sea and said, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I want you to realize, if you've been alive, that you've had storms. Can I hear an amen? Some storms have been more tumultuous than others, but storms are still storms because they try to draw your attention away. What we have found is that through our walking and standing in peace and walking and standing in faith is that we had to make a decision that nothing was going to distract us from what God's purpose is. You see, distractions always take your attention off of Christ. You remember Peter walking on the water. Peter's attention was drawn off of Christ and on the situation. Even though when he stepped out on the water, it was already windy, it was already wavy, but something caught his attention to where now he took his eyes off of Jesus and he put his eyes on his circumstance. And now everything shifted in his life as he began to sink. You've got to make a decision. We've got to make decisions every single day. When we get up in the morning, we've got to choose to bow to God only, and to no other thing will we surrender. Amen. Two amens. Amen. I'll take one more. Can I have an amen, 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 amen. Many times storms come without warning. I remember the night that our house was flooded. Rhonda was in Houston, excuse me, coming back from Houston. She was arriving in Ithaca, and then she was going to drive home. It was around midnight. And me and the dog, Benelli Brown, were sitting in the man cave. I'm sitting in the armchair watching a John Wayne movie. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. And all of a sudden, Benelli Brown, and we know the lights were off, just the TV on, and all of a sudden, the dog starts barking at the sliding glass window, or the sliding glass door. And I said, "Shut up, man, there's nobody there, because we have a light that goes on if somebody's in the yard." I said, "There's nobody there, what's your problem?" I finally turned the light back on, and what I started to see was the water was this high on the sliding glass door. Within 15 minutes, it was this high. Then it was this high. Then it was this high. Then the water was not outside anymore. The water's coming in. And I said to the dog, "This isn't good." He didn't answer back. But you know, he was bothered. And then I started listening as a roar started coming down my driveway, started going by the door, literally going past my front door, were literally waves just like this. I watched my grill that weighed about 300 plus pounds get picked up and thrown. I started watching. I went around the front of the house and I went around the side of the house. As I see now, I am literally living on an island. I've always wanted to live on an island. This was just not the right island. I called Ron and I said, "Don't come home. You can't get here." I couldn't have left if I wanted to. That all happened. And all of a sudden, like around 1 o'clock in the morning, everything subsided. And I said, "Whoa, go on, man. That's awesome." The house is a little wet, but not bad. And then at 1 o'clock, it started to rise again. And then it went higher by 6 inches on my sliding glass door. And I realized at this point, I might need to go to the next level because the water is coming in. And I decided at that moment that I had to start laughing. I'm not lying. I just looked at it and go, "That is stinking amazing." and I grabbed my video camera and I started video cameraing the water going by my doors. And I'm mesmerized at the power of the water. And I'm not upset. Why? Because it's not my house. I'm not upset because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm not upset about this storm because there's nothing I can do to stop it. So what will fear accomplish? See, some of you have submitted so deeply to fear, but you'll never, if you don't figure this out quickly, you're wasting the time that faith can be activated. Because if you're in fear, it means you're out of faith. If you're in fear, it means you're not praying. And prayer changes from heaven to earth. You can't bring heaven to earth if you're in fear, only in faith. So you've been distracted to death. Say amen or oh my. Just as the sea was getting really wild, and I want to remind you that on this boat were what? They were professional fishermen. They weren't weak. They weren't like these guys that were just sissy, girly men. These were men's men. And they're on this boat, and all of a sudden, as the waves started getting larger, the Bible says that the water started coming in the boat. Do you realize that you and I have to make a choice in our life whether we're going to allow the water to stay outside or the water to get inside? When troubles come, who's the boat? You're the boat, baby. We make a decision that as real as everything is around us and as real as the trouble is around us, we have to make a choice whether or not we're going to allow it to get inside of us. And the more we get inside, the quicker we sink. I choose to keep the boat high. Can I hear an amen? I choose to make sure that nothing's going to get in but Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? I choose to protect the boat. Can I hear an amen? I might need to get a sump pump, but I'm going to protect the boat because I do not want fear to get in my life, because where fear is, peace leaves. Now, you know, I don't know if you know anything about the Sea of Galilee, but it's not a big sea. It's not like an ocean. It's small. And here these guys are going across to the other side. Who told them they were going across? If Jesus says something to you, why would you doubt him? Has he ever failed you? People failed you. People cause problems in your life. People do dumb things, amen. You do dumb things yourself, say amen, amen, amen. But Jesus has never failed you. Isn't it amazing that the first one that we always seem to call out on the carpet as a liar is Jesus? Now, we don't sit back and go, you're a liar, Jesus. But when fear comes in, it's actually telling God, you're too weak for my situation. You might have been powerful in the Bible, but you're not powerful in my life. We've got to make choices that when the wind starts to stir up on the Sea of Galilee in your life, that even though fear would be the most intellectual thing to go into, instead of fear, you've got to learn how to stand in faith, because faith changes things. Fear only debilitates you. Why would you allow fear to be part of your life? Has anybody ever been in fear before? I personally can't watch like horror movies. I remember the very first horror movie I ever watched, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And all the mature people said, amen. I was 12 years old. I was babysitting next door. They were all in bed. And Invasion of the Body Snatchers came on. And I said, I'm strong enough to watch this. As a 12-year-old, as I'm watching the invasion occur, I felt something rise in me. It wasn't Jesus. It wasn't the Holy Ghost. I scared. And I said, I hope they come home soon. And I'm sitting there scared. And then they came home and I'm saying, yes, yes. But then I had to walk home in the dark. I didn't sleep at all last night. Why didn't I sleep? Because I was scared. Fear owned me. Fear captivated me. Fear. Listen, have you ever seen somebody get up in heights and they're afraid of heights? If you move, you won't stay there. I can't move. But if you stay there, you're still going to be afraid. Yeah, but I can't move. Literally arrested by fear. But yet if they would start moving, they would realize they would walk their way out of fear by taking a step of faith. But people that are arrested by fear, I have found, do not think in their right mind. Fear makes you think different. Fear makes you be governed differently than that by faith. Faith says, I've got to go over there, but I know it's tumultuous. I've got to go over there, but I know it's dangerous. I've got to go over there, but I'm really not even sure how to get there. So I start to walk by faith. Fear never allows you to take your steps. So therefore, your life never changes. I've seen people afraid of the same thing from childhood to adulthood. Literally owned by something that isn't even alive. I just recently heard of a man, a pastor, who's afraid of bridges. He won't go over a bridge. He'll fly in an airplane, but he won't go over a bridge. I just got one thing to say. Duh. That don't even make sense. You'll get an airplane that will go 40,000 feet high, 30, 40,000 feet high, but you won't cross a bridge. See, fear makes you think not normal. There is an intelligence when you're being governed by fear. You make decisions that if you were walking by faith, you'd never even walk there. But because you have surrendered your faith and your trust in God into something that is not even, come on now, alive, you now are owned by that. I've watched people getting ready to make financial moves. And they're getting ready to move forward in a financial thing. That, listen now, anything you're going to do to propel you forward is always chancy. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And I watched somebody. They were getting ready to move forward, and they started getting to where they were ready to make it happen, and literally just before the last step, turned around and walked away, and it cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars. Because a fear was stronger than their faith. You see, the fact is we're all in the boat. The issue is not the boat. The issue is not even the storm. The issue is who else is in the boat. So if Jesus is in the boat, you're in a good position. But if he ain't in your boat, you're going to sink. You see, people who don't know Christ or have little faith, I can understand their fear. But if you're a person that's willing to grow in your faith and mature in your walk with God, then you are willing to say unto this mountain, be thou cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have whatever you ask. You're in the position where you're saying, listen now, I see the impossible. I know what I'm looking at is reality. I know that I'm not denying the facts. But I'm going to stand here, stand on the word of God, and I refuse to allow anything to move me out of my peace. And I'll stand in faith, and I'll call those things which are not as though they already are. And I know that God cannot lie. So therefore, I shall have what I ask. Until you get there, you're literally owned by your own circumstances of life. And I don't know about you, circumstances are torturous. Circumstances don't care whether you're upset or not. Circumstances and fear do not care whether or not you're going to go into a depression. They do not care whether you're going to literally take your life. They do not care whether your thoughts are so crazy. They don't care. Because they're not alive. Why are you submitting to something that's not alive? What's alive is your walk with God. What's alive is the one who's in the boat. They ran up to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, there's a storm going on. What's he doing? He's sleeping. Why is he sleeping? I prayed, God, you must be sleeping. Listen now. Do you want to know why Jesus slept? Because he said, let's go to the other side. The devil can't kill you. The sea can't kill you. Disease can't kill you. The government can't kill you. Nothing can kill you. If Jesus says you're going to the other side, then you can just have a confidence in your heart that no matter what weapon is formed against you, it cannot prosper. And that baby, you're going to make it to the other side. And you're not going to just make it. I've said it for years. That means if you got to be a submarine, then you're going to make it as a submarine. That means if you're going to be a hovercraft, then God's going to get you as a hovercraft. That means if you're a boat and you're going to be sloshing back and forth, maybe getting a little seasick. But you know who's in the boat. You can have this confidence in him that he who has begun a good work in you shall complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Who's in your boat? And who are you willing to surrender your peace to? I have so many folks that are coming to me right now. Pastor, what do we do? Pastor, I just don't feel right in getting the vaccination. They told me that I'm going to get fired. I bring home the bread in my family. I'm a single mom, a single dad. I bring home enough. I pay the mortgage. Pastor, I'm afraid, but I don't feel right in taking the vaccination. And I don't want to get fired. Now, listen now. For those who aren't in that world right now, that's not a big deal to you. But if you're in government and or in the medical field and you're not getting the vaccination, what I'm talking about right now is about as real as a mountain as you're going to see. And you have to make decisions. Well, number one, are you a tither? If you are, then baby, you got nothing to worry about. God has to take care of you. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. If you're not a tither, start today. See, it's all about money. No, you don't understand. Money has nothing to do. God don't need your money. God wants your obedience. If he can trust you with mammon, then he can trust you with spiritual principles. If you don't trust him enough with your money, how can you trust him for your soul? So this has nothing to do with dollars. This has to do with obedience and trusting God in something that's temporary. Say amen. Amen. This is a real thing for many people in our congregation today and literally all over the nation. I've talked to some people just recently, and I talked to one hospital that's up near Rochester, and they're getting ready to close two wings of the hospitals because they're going to have to fire so many people. We're looking at shortages already in the medical world. Just talked to another individual there working within the nursing home facilities. And up to 30% of the nursing home faculty are going to get fired. Who's going to take care of them? Who's going to take care of the moms and dads and the grandmas and grandpas? There's a time that you and I are going to need to step up too and help. Oh, that got quiet, didn't it? I said there's a time where we're going to have to step up and help ourselves. We're going to have to get involved in our community a little bit more and love people beyond our own little comfort zones. Can I hear an amen? Amen. But we're watching people that are getting ready to go. This week is going to be big. I'm telling you, I don't care what your decision is. That's not between you and me. That's between you and your God. I love you if you're vaccinated. I love you if you're not vaccinated. I don't give a care. That's between you and Jesus. But what I do care is you cannot lose your peace. If Jesus says you're going to the other side, then baby, you're going to the other side. You might not be able to see how the waves are going to be calmed. You might not be able to see how the wind is going to be quiet. You might not be able to see even Christ working. We sang that song in the beginning. Even though I can't see him working, he is. And you can trust him. Don't surrender your peace. Don't surrender your peace. If you're sick, don't surrender your peace. If you're in financial problems, don't surrender your peace. If this is the week where you might get fired, don't surrender your peace. Nobody has a right to take it, and don't you dare give it away because Jesus gave it to you. You know, in that text, the disciples said, "Don't you care?" You might be thinking, "Where's God? Doesn't he care?" Listen, he's right there, and he'll take care of you. But you're going to have to trust him. Some of you have never been to that level of trust before. But every one of us are going to come to a new threshold of trust or fear. Choose trust, and you'll always walk by faith and not by sight. And you'll see great victory in your life. All four situations happening at the same time in our lives, we had a choice. What are we going to do? Are we going to praise? There were many a nights, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, we'd be up in the living room or in the man cave, just praising through the situation. There were times that we were living, listen now, the hotel adventure was an adventure. The first one, we stayed at this one hotel, and they knew us there, and so they started calling my wife their boo. I said, so Rhonda started coming in the back door, and then they cornered her and said, avoiding me, my boo? We decided to move. So we went to another hotel, walked into the hotel the very first time, and some lady starts going, "Celebrities, celebrities, celebrities." I'm going, "Oh, Jesus, help us. I just want to be quiet and go to my room." Then one night I'm doing the laundry, and I watched her walk down the hallway and put her ear to our door. You know, we moved the next day. In every scenario, as weird as it gets, God never changes. He is the constant. He is the consistent. He is the reliable. He is the trustworthy. He is the I am that I am. He is the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And you can know this. He is constantly consistent. So when hell starts coming your way and the lady starts putting her ear to your door, you got to make a decision in your life. Will I live in fear or will I live in faith? You know what's amazing? It's the same amount of exertion. You're expending the same amount of energy. One will produce results and one will put you in prison. One will make you free. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. The other will put you in an incarceration of your own mind. Who's more powerful in your life? God or your circumstance? I'm sorry, as for me and my house, nobody's getting my peace. I love you. You can say whatever you want about me, do whatever you want to me. The devil can show up in spankies if he wants. Is that what they call them? Spanks? I don't even know where that came from. Oh, they're red tights? Okay. She's trying to make it better in the back. This I know is that my God is good. And he might seem like he's sleeping, but the only reason he woke up is because of other people's fear. He would have remained sleeping through the whole storm. Has anybody here ever slept through a thunderstorm, got up the next morning, somebody said, wow, what a thunderstorm. It was so intense. And you went, huh? You got to start saying, huh? Practice this with me. Huh? No, you got to do it better than that. Ready? Huh? Now you got to make the face. Ready? Can you bring me closer? Bring me closer. Ready? Huh? Come on now, you got to practice it with me. We got this now. Ready? Ready? Here we go. Huh? Can you turn to the person next to you and go, huh? Because the storm can only sink you if you put the hole in the boat called fear. And then life will become stronger than Jesus. But I learned this a long time ago. I'm not giving my peace to anybody. I'm not surrendering my peace to a doctor's report. I'm not surrendering my peace to water that made me an island. I'm not surrendering myself and my peace to an individual that did wild things. I'm not surrendering my peace to COVID. I choose to walk by faith and not by sight. If you do that, your boat will always make it across. Can't tell you how it's going to get across, but it's going to get there because God cannot lie. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, I got peace. Bow your heads with me this morning. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can't know peace. It's not possible. You can know peace until the next problem comes your way. Because the only strength you have is human strength. And if you've been alive long enough, you realize you can't even heal the wing on a fly. But with God on your side, there's nothing you can't do. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Messiah, as your Savior, you've not asked Him and surrendered your life to Him and said, Jesus, I want to get in your boat, then today is your day. I don't have a religion for you. I don't have a church for you. I have a God who loves you for you. And today, if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend, the most faithful friend you'll ever have. Is there anyone in the room this morning? Maybe you're online this morning and you want Jesus in your life. Someone gave their heart to the Lord last week right on live stream. I want you to get right there and type, I am saved, or dial, grab your phone and send us a text, 97000. Type in, I am saved. Someone's going to reach right out to you. One more time. Anybody here need Jesus Christ as their Savior? You want to get right with God? Is there anyone in the room? 5, 4, 3, 1. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. I want you to know no matter what weapon, you're going to make it. And if you need us, we're here for you. Is that fair? You got a whole group of people. Remember, this is just one service. This is just one service right here. And we probably have a good 100 people missing in this service. There's a bunch of people who will stand in faith with you. A bunch of people who will stand with you. You don't have to do this alone. All you got to do is ask for help. Well, I don't like to ask for help. Well, the disciples didn't mind asking Jesus for help. Hey, what are you doing? Help me. Know that there are people that will stand in faith with you. And if you need help, we'll even help you. Amen. We're a good church. Last year, this church gave $380,000 away to people that were in need in missions. That's a lot of money. $380,000. That's more than most churches' budgets. And we love giving. We love helping. We love being standing with you. You're not alone. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the peace that passes all understanding as we surrender our lives to you and we declare that you are a good God. We thank you, Jesus, that you are so faithful to us and that, Jesus, when we call, you are right there. Peace Be still in every scenario of our life. And Christ, even the wind and the waves, even nature has to obey you. So we speak to every situation. We speak to the medical reports of the people that are in this room and the people that are online. We declare in Jesus' name a miracle, a sign and a wonder to be released right now. Lord, we declare over finances that God, you're going to make a way. You're going to give opportunity where it doesn't even make sense. God, we thank you even with the nurses and those in healthcare and those in the governmental positions that don't want to take the vaccination. We pray, God, that you'll do something for them. Lord, whether it be another job, whether it be, God, something so unique that, Lord Jesus, when they look back in 1 year, they'll say, if I had stayed there or done that, I would not be where I am today. Be a miracle-working God in every scenario and every situation. In Jesus' name, amen. We had a man leave the church recently, and he left the church, and I said, what'd you leave the church for? And he said, because you said it wasn't wrong to take the vaccination. Then I had somebody leave because of the opposite. This church is never going to take a position. I'm called to preach the gospel, not to preach vaccinations. That's your choice. You need to make that decision with your God. That's not a church issue and will never be a church issue. Can I just want to make sure we're really clear. So when somebody asks you, you're very clear, our stance. If the Bible talks about vaccination, I'll stand up here and preach it. And you know, I guess I have somewhat of a reputation I'm hearing, that I say it the way it is. That's what I'm hearing. Recently had a pastor call me and say, I'm calling you because you say it the way it is. I do. If it was in there, I'd say it the way it is. This is your decision with your God and with the Holy Ghost. Make your own decisions. And don't you dare, I'm ready to rebuke you. Don't you dare cop a prejudiced attitude about somebody who does and or doesn't. It's not going to get him to heaven or get him out of heaven. One way or the other might get him there quicker. But the fact is that they're still your brother. They're still your sister. And without them, you're missing a limb. Prejudice is never allowed in the house of God. Amen? I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Make sure you share Jesus with somebody this week. Next week, we start a new series. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be amazing.